Last week, we dealt with biblical guidance regarding wealth and ambition, about career, about wealth, okay? And we talked about the key thing that we need to be aware of is the area of covetousness, right? Covetousness. And we talked about the fact that covetousness many times has to do with wanting things, okay? Wanting things that other people have, okay? Especially in Singapore, there's a lot of, we're just talking about all over Singapore, condominiums are sprouting out like nobody's business, okay? And maybe it's because our per capita income is getting higher, so a lot of developers are cashing in so that they can actually grab a piece of the action, the money, all right? But we have to also look at whether or not from God's perspective, it is actually God's will, okay? So we talk about that. But the second part of covetousness also is an attitude that feels that you always have to have things. You always want things, okay? If you don't have things, you feel very insecure, all right? After you've gotten one thing, you want something else. Things, okay? There was one person who said, we have to, for people, we love people. Some people love things, okay? We don't love things. We love people. We use things, okay? Things are for our use. Let's pray. Then after that, we'll go through very quickly the five tests, and then after that, five biblical principles, how we can overcome this in our lives. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing the people in. We pray that you bring quickly also the rest who are coming. We ask them, Lord, ask you, Lord, to guide them, guide their steps, guide their ways, even as they come into this place of learning of thy word. Father, many things have happened this week in our lives. I'm sure there are many things which, Lord, we honestly need your grace and your wisdom in how we need to handle things, whether it's a physical problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's something just looking for a job, whether it's a tragedy even sometimes, Lord, as we need your grace in all this, we pray your Holy Spirit will continuously guide us and give us the grace to help in times of need. So Lord, right now as we study your word and how we can overcome or how we can be biblically guided, so that we will not fall into the sin of covetousness with regards to the things and the careers in our lives. Father, it's so easy in metropolitan, meritocratic society like us in Singapore that everyone is pushing very hard for things and for career. But yet, Lord, how important it is for our hearts to realize what you teach and live by it. So, Lord, speak to us in a special way. Help us to focus on what you say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there you go. People are coming in. All right. Okay, very quickly, last week we talked about five tests. What? Right. Hot. Oh, are you hot? Are you hot over there? No, this side is hot. Just increase it a bit. Okay. Last week we talked about five tests. Okay, very quickly, the five tests to show if our desires have become covetous. All right, just very quickly, I just go through it today. Then we'll spend a big part of today going through biblical principles of how to overcome these desires that are not biblical. Okay, number one, we talk about, do we set our attitude upon promotion, elevation, or the accumulation of substance for its own sake? Okay, some people want promotion. I need to get that job. They have this idea of career ladder. I need to climb up the career ladder so that I can achieve this, I can do this, and they set goals for themselves. Now, if you set goals for promotion's sake, that is covetousness, okay? Because God did not create us with the design to only achieve things in this life. God created us to the design of honoring Him in this life, okay? So that's one thing. If we only go after things, then it is sin, it is covetousness, okay? And it is idolatry. That's firstly. Secondly, we ask the question, is the promotion, elevation, accumulation of things for its own sake our key to happiness and contentment? If we have this, then we are happy. If we have that, then we are secure, okay? If we think like that, we have decided that we need to control our own lives and God has no part of that, okay? And we need to be careful because many people feel that to have a big bank account is happiness to them. All right. Interestingly, a lot of young teenagers are very, very sad stories of how young girls sell their bodies to get money so they can buy more expensive stuff. Okay, young men will go out and work for the deliberate purpose of getting more money, and if there's an opportunity to make $500 a day, why not? Some people would think like that, but they would do things that are wrong, that are illegal. Okay? It's not worth the $500 to do something illegal and then end up in jail. Alright? We need to be very, very careful about that. Okay? There's nothing more precious than you yourself as an individual. No money in the world can buy who you are. Okay? So you need to be careful. So is the things we go for the key to our happiness and our satisfaction? If it is, then it's covetousness. Okay? Okay, number three. This is interesting. When we spend our energy in possessions, in getting things, in wanting to work for promotion, or even for academic achievement, and that takes away our time from serving God, that is covetousness. Okay? That is covetousness. We need to be very careful. Okay? I want to qualify that. I just read this. When our normal lives become so committed to things of this world that we as Christians are constantly stolen from the Lord in His service, we are most probably in the grip of covetousness. There are some of our men who have to travel. I just want to be very clear. Some of you all do have to travel. Okay? It's not that your heart is on the career. It's just as part of your job. All right? You do have to miss a few weeks and all that kind of thing in service because you're overseas, you're doing something else. That's okay, because when you come back, you just dive straight into serving God again. That's not sin. I don't believe that's sin, because you're just fulfilling your duty. Okay. However, if you say, I want this trip because it will help me in my promotion next time, prospects. Okay. Nothing wrong with that even. If you say, I need this so that I can provide for my family. Okay, I need this because my children are growing up. And Lord, if it's your will, you still submit if your will, then I'm going to work hard for my family so that they can have that extra. All right, so let's not sin as well, because the most important thing in all these things is where is your heart? If your heart is just set on the things, and that's wrong. Does that make sense? But you say, Lord, this promotion will be useful because I sure can use that extra money. You know, my mom is sick and my children needs a little bit extra for their school, Lord. You work it out, but Lord, I'm just going to submit to you. I'll just do what you tell me to do. Does that make sense? When your heart is in the right place, okay? As far as God is concerned, He is honored, okay? So, number four, the fourth test we talk about, am I seeking after wealth and ambition so that we can look good? Some people want their CVs to look good. Yeah, I'm the assistant superintendent or whatever. I'm the superintendent or whatever, okay? And I'm so-and-so, and you know, nowadays you have doctor so-and-so, BSc, MD, PhD, all the D's all behind, all the degrees and doctors of philosophy. Nowadays, PhDs are very easy to get. Did you know that? So you're studying, A-level so hard already, but PhD. No, actually, it's getting very easy to get. You can get a PhD for 1 year. You can do a one-year program, all right? In occupational therapy, a doctor of occupational therapy, you can get that in 1 year. Okay? Of course, they need to check whether you have other credits, lah. But sometimes it's really quite fast, you know? So, and they will give you, for life experience even, they will give you some credits for that so that you don't have to take extra courses, okay? And many people are going after that. In fact, in occupational therapy, minimum is master's right now. Okay, although you have a degree for my profession, and for me, I don't have a bachelor's, but because of my experience, I'm still wanted, thank God for that. But you know, a lot of the younger ones are like, they're having their PhDs at 26. Last time, PhDs is only 30, you know, 35. But now they're younger and younger, okay? But you know what? They are striving after things of this life. Of course, my friends that go after PhD, they're not Christians. Nothing wrong with going after PhDs, nothing wrong. If it is designed to provide needs and to honor God. But if you go, some people go for the sake of study. Some people go for the sake of just accumulating the extra degree. Then we need to be very careful about that, because that is covetousness. We're going after the things of this world. And one thing I learned many years ago, there was some people who are taking up, the government is pushing for upgrading. Nothing wrong with that as well. But you know, people upgrade at the expense of God's will, they upgrade at the expense of sometimes their families. We need to be very careful And one thing that when we upgrade now, what happens is that we actually anchor ourselves a little bit more in the world. If our hearts is set on that. Do you make sense? Let's say if you're upgraded and your boss sees that, your boss sees potential, then your boss wants you. And you say, well, that's good for me. And if the heart is not directed towards God, your heart can be very easily swayed away. Does that make sense? It's a very delicate balance. I just want to be very clear in our hearts. When we go after possessions and careers, we need to set our hearts on God and say, God, if it's your will, then Lord, I'll still be working hard, I'll be doing my duty as a Christian. But Lord, if it's your will, it is promotion that comes from God. Okay? And one good test is that you work hard because you know it's the right thing to work hard. Then the promotion will come. Okay? God sees us. Okay? God sees how we work. It's interesting. As we are working for the Lord, even in our secular work. It's interesting. I was just listening to a message this week and talking about our work and our spiritual life is one and the same. Okay? Let's turn to one passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it's there. Ephesians 6. And Paul... Okay, I just want to just bring this in so that we can know very clearly from the scriptures, our work and our spiritual life is one of the same. There is no dichotomy, there is no division, there is no compartmentalization of my work, my Christian life is Christian life. Some people think like that. That is not true. Okay, look at the scriptures, Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. Okay, I just read as you follow along with your eyes. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Paul firstly was talking to slaves here. Okay? And he is telling those slaves who have been saved, be obedient to your bosses. In other words, your Christian life needs to influence your behavior at work too. Okay? Because he says also, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart. That means, what is the purpose of your work? As unto Christ. You're obeying Christ. Okay, as unto Christ. That's why he says, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. The slaves, Paul talks to slaves, and he's telling slaves, obey your masters with singleness of heart, so they honor Christ. Don't do it to please men. Do it to please God. Notice the last part that says, doing the what? Will of God. From the heart. I mentioned many times, students, the will of God in your studies is to do what? Honor God, honor your parents. That's the will of God. And who knows, listen carefully, this came to my mind, I think this is quite crucial. By you honoring your parents and honoring God, there is something that God wants to work out in your family. And God, through your testimony, touches the heart. Perhaps of your boss, perhaps of your friends. Because it could be that the will of God for you in that situation was to work hard, just to honor Him. But someone else was watching. And the will of God caught the attention of an unsaved person, and they trusted Christ because you were doing God's will. Does that make sense? You're doing God's will by working hard, but God using your testimony in His mind, there was someone else that He was wanting to reach. And because you were faithful, God was able to do His will in your life. Do you see that? It's interesting because many people have been saved, or if you talk to people, they may say, you know, last time there was this bus captain, you don't even know, bus captain, not the SBS bus, the church bus, and he goes out, and he was just faithful, you know, year in, year out. And apparently there was one particular testimony of this bus, Christian bus captain, that he was just faithful every Sunday, just go out, you know, bring the children in and all that. And there was one little boy who was there, and he shared in his testimony that he said, I've been a bus kid since I was young. I can't remember how old. But he remembered this bus captain always faithfully every Sunday. And because of this 4 years of, I remember the phrase 4 years, of the 4 years of faithful, just what? The boy trusted Christ. And he remembered, he's thankful for the bus captain that faithfully, week after week, just go out and fetch him. Okay? And so we'll never know. God just wants us to be faithful at our work, right? I mean, this is Christian work, of course. But you know what? God's will was maybe to touch the heart of this boy. And God used the faithfulness of this man to touch him. Okay, so in the same way for us as Christians, just settle down first. God wants to use our focus. God wants to use our focus to do God's will so that we can actually do His will. All right, any questions? Okay, put our heart. Okay, put our heart where it should be, with God. Okay, don't seek after wealth and ambition so that we look good in front of others. Okay, so what if we have $500,000? So what if we have $50 million? Okay, so what? Money come, money go. All right. The next one is the last test. Am I driven by passion for wanting more and more of something? Am I always asking, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And some people have the means, so they just kind of splurge, you know. They have to buy the most expensive thing. They have to buy the most branded thing. Am I driven by passion that I want to show off the accessories that I have? If that's it, 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's last week's one, all right, for those who just came. Okay, love of money is the root of all evil. We need to be careful because that becomes covetousness, all right? Young teenagers, sometimes you may have the means, okay? But remember, every cent that goes into your pocket comes from God. And God wants us to be good, what? Stewards of His money. We buy because we need, okay? We buy because we need. And sometimes all we need is a metal piece to keep time. We don't need a $16,000 one. There are some people who buy bags that is a whole month's salary for some people. Do we really need that? Do we really need a $2,000, $6,000 bag? Yeah, of course, it's carried by one of these superstars, you know, but do we really need a $6,000 bag to put your wallet and your purse? Would a $10 one from the Pasar Malam do? You know, or maybe you'll get a good one. Of course, I'm not saying just go for the cheapest and going for a good one, but it doesn't have to be the $6,000 one that everyone has. Does it make sense? I think we need to have a balance of that because sometimes we can get caught up in that cycle and God wants us to be careful about that. All right? Any questions? Okay, now we're going to go on. How do we overcome some of these things? Okay, we highlighted the 5 tests. How do we overcome the covetousness sometimes we may have? And sometimes we are doing it, but we don't even know it's covetousness. By the way, covetousness is sin against God. All right, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Covetousness is sin against God. Colossians 3 verse 5, let's read that together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God says very clearly, covetousness is like worshipping something. Okay? And there's only one thing worthy of our worship, and that is God. In fact, covetousness is also branded as a sin where else? In the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Okay? And interestingly, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet is the only heart attitude of covet in the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? Those are active. All the rest are very active, meaning that you can actually see happening. Okay, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's represented by the service of the Israelites. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Very clear. If you have a graven image, that's sin against God. Okay, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. When you say something about, that's why the Jewish are very careful about mentioning the word Yahweh. They don't mention it. Why? Because the moment you mention it, it's blasphemy. Or rather, it's actually taking the name of the Lord in vain. Okay? If you don't keep the Sabbath, very clear. You do something that is against the Sabbath. Okay? If you commit adultery, it's very clear. If you kill, it's very clear. If you steal, it's very clear. If you, what else? Kill, steal. Tell lies. Yeah, tell lies is very clear. But covetousness, you can't see. And God deals with that as well. Okay? And it's interesting, he deals with that in the nation of Israel, in the Ten Commandments, and in the New Testament, he deals with that in the apostolic doctrine. We need to be very careful about covetousness, especially in Singapore. Okay, I say again, because we're such a prosperous country, those who are not as prosperous may have the desire to want more, to be promoted more. And Singapore has a lot of opportunities. There's nothing wrong with opportunity. There's nothing wrong with promotion. But as Christians, we need to guard our heart. That's what the Bible is teaching us, okay? So what do we do? How do we overcome covetousness? Any questions first? Yes.
Whereas for a rich person, if they cover, at least, I mean, I'm not saying that it's all right, but I mean, there will be less of a problem of them going to death. So I was just thinking, you know, really covetousness is really a problem. It's a problem of how much we want instead of how much we really have.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So,
yeah. I don't know. Definitely. Every sin on earth, sin goes across all classes, whether you're rich or poor. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the psalmist says, please don't give me too much, otherwise I will curse thee. But please don't give me too little, otherwise I will do certain things which are wrong as well. So God just provide my needs according to your riches in glory. And I think that is a contented heart. And one of the ways of overcoming covetousness is contentment, learning contentment through the things that God has given to us. Okay, thanks for those thoughts. It's very important for us, especially your young people growing up. Covetousness is definitely of the heart. You need to see where your heart is when it comes to things. Do you really have to go for that, or is something else better? Okay, let's go through how we overcome five things. Then after that, we can still discuss some more. All right. The first thing we need to do. Let's turn to Psalm 139. As you turn there, I'll just read the point. The first thing we need to do, honestly, is to search our own hearts. Pray earnestly and self-searchingly for help, confessing our faults and sins in this matter. Okay? Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. Okay. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay? If you read the context, this one is very humbling, right? It's a very humbling verse. Say, oh Lord, search me. Do you know what's the psalmist's attitude before this? Just read a few verses up. Okay? In verse 19, I just read, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. He's not swearing. Bloody men means men full of blood who kill others. Okay? Then verse 24, they speak against thee wickedly, Lord, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate thee, O Lord, that hate thee and hate. And am I not grieved with those that rise up with them? I hate thee with perfect hatred. I count in my enemies. What was the attitude of the psalmist here? I hate your enemies, Lord. Sorry? What was the attitude? Do you think the psalmist have? Self? Righteousness. Self-righteousness. Okay, in the context, you look and suddenly, perhaps God touches his heart as he remembers that, if you read in Psalm 139, God knows everything in our hearts. God knows everything in our hearts. You know, there's this imprecation, they call it imprecation, that's God, you deal with them, and Lord, how I hate them. And then suddenly, perhaps in humility, he remembers, hey, Lord, you need to search me too. Lord, as I look around me and everyone is doing this, and in my heart I have this, Lord, this is not right. But then he pauses and looks back and says, Lord, search me. Everyone else is doing that. Everyone else is chasing after the mighty dollar. Everyone else is wanting to buy condominiums. Everyone else is wanting to do this. Nothing wrong with buying condominiums and all that. But the psalmist David was looking at the heart. Okay, because then search me, O God, and know my heart. Know what's inside, Lord. Lord, yeah, I'm saying I hate these people because they hate you. But Lord, only you can accurately identify what's in my heart. So Lord, search me. The word search means what? Make careful investigation. Investigate me thoroughly, Lord. Okay, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know what I'm thinking. And I believe in, as we go through this, and even in the Sunday service, talk about how to identify trial, we're going to be looking at how you think. God wants to test how you think. Some people say, I don't want to think. That's wrong. God gave you a mind. Think. Okay? Because how you think determines your actions. I say again, how you think determines your actions. Would you agree with that? Because the Bible says what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Book of Proverbs. How you think determine your decisions. And if your thought processes are not anchored in the Word of God, you will find it will sway into the influences of this world. Okay? So, the psalmist actually asks God, know my thoughts, and then see, identify if there be any wicked way in me. And he was very honest, Lord, is there something wicked in my life? In disobedience, perhaps? And it's interesting because yesterday I was just reading or just studying the book of James again, and I read something very interesting. Maybe I share with you because I think this has to do with how we perceive things. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word servant there in the Greek means what? Youth means? Servant means? Doulos. Doulos is bond slave. Okay? Now, in the culture of the Greeks, in the culture of the Greek, they value personal freedom a lot. It's a prized possession. Freedom is very important to the Greeks. Okay? So when they look at a bond slave, they despise a bond slave. They would despise a bond slave. Why? Because a bond slave is bonded to a master. And by the way, if you're a bond slave, you don't receive any wages, by the way. You don't receive any salary. Okay? And it dawned on me, why God wants us to be his bond slave. Okay? If you're willing to... So if you're a bond slave, your rights are all being taken away from you. Would you agree with that? Because you're a slave. All your rights are taken away from you. The Greeks will look at the bond slave and say, and despise the bond slave. Is it possible, this analogy, when you look at that, many Christians who chose to follow Christ, after a while realizes that they surrender their rights to God. With then the world who values their own personal freedom, the Greek thinking, the worldly thinking, I need to make my own decisions, man. I don't have to follow anything. Why are you so stupid? Why are you so silly? All these laws. And this Christian who surrendered to God suddenly looks at, yeah, I'm so silly. But if you understand the concept of the bond slave, this person surrenders to Christ because he loves him. Does that make sense? Do you realize God values freedom as well? I think you all know that God values freedom. The only reason one becomes a bond slave is because the person voluntarily, willingly surrenders to Christ because he loves Christ. Yes? Okay? However, therefore, it dawned on me also that many Christians choose to serve Christ, but yet perhaps the love hasn't been sorted out yet. And that's why after they know they're supposed to serve Christ, they know because of salvation, but they vacillate, meaning that a little bit in Christ, a little bit run back to the world, then they go back to Christ again, then they go back to the world again. And dawned on me, I realized this, that when we surrender to Christ, we're all His. Okay? Does that make sense? You understand that? And many, then it dawned on me again, many young people today value freedom, like the Greeks value freedom, but do not understand when we submit our lives to Christ, we are doing it voluntarily. We are giving our freedom to Christ, who gave us our real freedom. And when we understand the freedom in Christ, we actually live an abundant life, a meaningful life, a useful life. I may not earn $20 million, but I'm able to lead 3 people to Christ. That's more valuable, amen? Does that make sense? It depends on where. And God wants us to change our mind about the whole thing. So when you come back to this, when you're asking God to search me, say, God, do I value my personal freedom like the Greeks do? And I would despise people who serve Christ because I want my own personal freedom. I don't want to be controlled by people. I need to be able to assert myself in whatever I think I need to be able to do. That's what the world does. In fact, we go to the higher levels of learning, they will probably get you to assert yourself as well. No, just share. And their goal is to get you to assert yourselves. But you know what? Biblical freedom is when you surrender your heart to Christ. When ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You will have real freedom when you submit to Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, any questions? All right. So this first one, asking God to search our hearts. You know what? We need to be very honest about this. Am I a covetous person? Well, that's a hard question to ask. Okay? But if you're not, then thank God for it and ask God to keep your heart. Say, Lord, help me to always put you first in everything that I do, whether it's in finances, whether it's in possessions. It's not wrong to own much. It's not wrong. But the question, it becomes wrong when your heart is in the much rather than on the giver, the one who gave. Okay? Right? And a question that you may want to ask yourself is, if God asked me to surrender, may I just finish the question first? And the question that you want to ask yourself is this. If God asked me today to give up half of what I have, am I willing to for His work? If you say I have to struggle, that's covetousness. Yes, sorry. Sure. Yes. Is it okay? Is it?
I look at a brother, oh, he's growing so much spiritually, and I want my one.
Oh, that's not covetousness, that's motivation. How? That's inspiration.
How? When does it become covetous? Can it?
No, you will never, okay, when you're covered, you will never sin against God, wanting to be a better Christian.
Amen.
Never sin against God, because that's what God wants you to do. That's His heart for you. So I want to be like that person. Okay, but of course, you want to be like Adolf Hitler. I think that's a different story. But you know what? If you truly want to be like Christ, to be a better Christian, to serve better, to learn better, I don't think anything that promotes your growth for the glory of God, yeah, I don't believe that's ever a sin, personally. Any thoughts on that? Okay.
I was just thinking, it's slightly related to what I mentioned just now. Sometimes covetousness is in relation to the value of the thing that we're coveting after. So in other words, it's when we say covetousness, we always associate luxury items, things that are expensive, things that are flashy. But is it possible to covet for something that is inferior? For example, I'm just thinking of any possible scenario. So I'm thinking, okay, imagine I go to $50 shirt. Then I walk down to the big shop. I see, this shop $35. And then I go home. I think, I keep thinking about it. I should have bought the second shop. I don't know. Am I thinking too much? It's quite relevant, I think, because the answer to that will determine the root of covetousness.
Oh, okay.
It's not a problem of the value of the thing.
Okay.
But it's a problem of how much I want.
Okay. I got two examples. There was one person who bought a property for $500,000. That's a personal sharing, okay? And he was telling me, "Brother Johnny, you know, I bought this. Yeah, when I want to buy a condo, I want to sell it. It dropped down to $375,000. He had to sell it because he had to cover his condo. But in his heart, I say, well, that's part and parcel of life in Singapore, you know? Things go up, things go down, fine, you know? To me, I learned from that because his heart wasn't in that. I mean, value, you have no control over that. If it goes down, it goes down, you know. But he still sell it and everything else. He just take it as one of those things in life, lah, you know. You do lose. So it was obvious to me that his heart wasn't in there, okay. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because we do have another scenario whereby when this person buy a $50 and he saw something else, he will actually go back to the person, and it's so expensive, I want my money back. And he go in. So that's wrong too, because when you actually buy something, you already did an honest transaction with that person. Okay? But what is the motivation for wanting to fight your way to get it back? In that question, I'll be honest with you. I dare not say it's covetousness. It could be some people are very controlling of their things, or maybe other things. Lah. Whether it's covetousness, a person will have to think through for himself, I think. Oh, okay.
Even though it's lesser and inferior in value,
okay.
That doesn't negate covetousness.
Yeah, but I think that person will have to then ask himself, like, why am I thinking like that? I think it's a very important, why am I thinking like that? Bye-bye, really, law. You know? Right, I mean, yeah, okay, next time I'll be wiser. I'll learn from my father-in-law and say, you know, you're only stupid one time, And now you know you don't go to the shop anymore because they always sell it expensive, you go somewhere else. So that should... But if you keep on thinking about that, maybe you're kicking yourself, maybe you're a person who really wants to save money, there may be other reasons. But maybe the question is to ask yourself, why am I so uptight about that? Yeah, and then just seek the Lord and ask God to show you why you're thinking like that. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it can go so many things. Like, oh, I'm at this company, why they give me a lower pay or whatever, or why they say my performance is not so good, my performance bonus I don't have, I should have. Then the should can go into many areas.
Sure.
And then they start demanding justice, so-called justice in some areas.
Okay.
I would see more as a person who went to a, who keep thinking, I should have gotten the better deal, I should have justice, I should be done, so keep thinking about it.
That will be fighting for your own rights, huh? Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes. Totally agree. Yeah.
Second part is the value of the. It's not just look at visitors, lack of honor. You talk about things that sometimes things you can. It's not just things that you can buy, things that you cannot buy. For example, the Bible mentioned that thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife. The neighbor's wife you can't buy. You talk about it. So it's something not you can buy. And the other thing is about things that you cannot buy is, for example, attention. Let's say you are in a school or in a class, they say, oh, this person always got attention, my wife, the most popular, Mr. Popular or Mrs. Popular, not Miss Popular. So you want to be like them, say, I want to be in this gang, this group, this niche, whatever. So you cover for that, and that's also coverage.
Definitely it's
coverage.
Yeah.
So the value is important, but also I think what the Bible just says, anything that's not yours,
it's not yours.
Because people like you, then they might want to raise God, give you the property. But then you use the property to do something about it. Maybe by that people respect you more or listen to you more, then you share the Bible yep. more to them.
Yep.
But if you cover church and it's not yours, that's covered.
True. Then maybe to answer the question, firstly, for what Sister Shaolin mentioned about I'm in company, but then I shouldn't be in a company, I should be entitled more. That actually has very much to do with what you think. Okay? Biblically, it's very clear. When you make a contract, as a Christian, you are bound by that. Okay? Unless they put a gun to your head, you better sign. That's a different thing. But usually we sign willingly. And as a Christian, let your yea be yea. If you have to earn $1,000 more in this company compared to another one of the same job, but you already signed, as a Christian, we need to be contented in that and say, Lord, you put me here, I'll just do what I can here. Okay, that's a proper Christian. When we start thinking about all these things, we need to be careful. Okay, because that could be a heart issue about I deserve better. And that's selfishness. Me. Envy, sorry, the sin is envy. Being envious. Okay? I should be the one there. Why am I here? Why am I just lousy? You know, you bring the attitude to work. You know, I'm feeling like going, no choice, I've got a 2-year contract, otherwise I've got whatever. You need to be careful, okay? I totally agree also. It doesn't. Covetousness can be over things that you cannot buy. Okay, like wanting attention. Okay? Some children, some people, apparently I was speaking to someone who was really into anime. Okay, in anime. He's left anime, thank God, he went back to Christ. He said the very first thing that people go into anime is because they want attention. Because in their common lives, they don't get attention. But when you become someone with, you know, all kinds of people say, wow, so nice! They get the attention they want. You know what they do? They go to the world for that kind of attention. That's covetousness. And that's what the devil wants. Come, man, it's good for you. Or I need to be the most handsome, I need to... We need to be careful. Covetousness is something, as a Christian, Satan works very hard. Because Singapore, in Singapore especially. But I appreciate the thoughts. Any questions? Yes. Oh, yeah, okay,
if
okay.
Someone is born in the rich family. Not me, I'm not born in the rich family. Someone is born in the rich family. And then this someone is always yearning, oh, I wish I can have a similar life. Live on the farm, you know. And they keep thinking and thinking and thinking, wanting that kind of other kind of life. It's also possible to be covetous in that sense, right? I don't know. As much as it's possible for someone not to have anything, cover to have more.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, and being contented. Now that's an interesting one because the question is, why are you wanting that? Why are you wanting that kind of life? Why do you want that life? I think that question has to be asked. I don't want because my children are all very stressed. 3 of them is IMH. Lord, we need a simpler life. That might not be covetousness. But I say, it's boy, I already got enough money. Why should I need all this for? I want to make sure that guy feels being simple so can make it. That kind of thing. So if there's the motivation, it really goes down to your motivation. Why are you wanting this, really? And Christians, we need to be honest with ourselves. If really our covetousness for the simpler life is I want to do my own thing, I don't have time, and I got to do this. And if it's all about me, then we need to see why. Yeah. Perhaps somebody in stressful lives, God just wants us to learn contentment. Maybe you just go on because there's something else, then maybe you wrap it up because otherwise we keep going. But thanks for those questions. Keep it there, okay? Because What you're saying is true, Brother Desmond, about as long as you want something, okay, to qualify what Sister Shaolin said, wanting something that is not yours, we also need to look at the motivation. As someone, I know that in our church also, there are people who would like a better job so that they can provide more for their family. That's not sin. Because I would like my family to have a little bit more things because, you know, of course it must be real. If you want to buy... I got 47-inch TV, I want a 60-inch home theater, and that's a different thing, you know. But you know what, if I mean, as a family, there are families that go into really poor ones, they don't even have a fridge. Don't even have a fridge or don't even have a fan, you know. I said, Lord, I would really like to provide a bit more of comfort for my family. And Lord, you know, I'm only earning 600. I'd like to upgrade. And so he goes for work. He puts in his effort. I don't think that's wrong. Because you want to provide for the needs of your family. All right? Okay, let's quickly go through first. All right, next one, practice self-denial. Practice self-denial. Keeping a firm restraint on yourself. Do not spoil or pamper yourself, often choosing the best of everything when something less may be more than adequate. Okay, we need self-discipline and self-denial. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, second point, how do we overcome covetousness? Practice self-denial. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. First Corinthians 9:25. Okay, the Bible says, 25 to 26, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, nor as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. No, even preachers can become covetous. I've seen a preacher who came from a third world country, a missionary there for many years, and when he came over, later on he decided that, hey, this is the kind of life I want, you know, and begin to make plans. Because he doesn't want the kind of life anymore. That's covetousness. The preacher is needed where he is because he could only speak that dialect. And he's the only preacher that can do that. But yet, because when he came here, people were giving love offerings and all that, he became covetous. And he started to ask and solicit for funds. We need to be very careful. Okay? Paul actually said this, that he said, I need to be a control of what I want, my desires. My desires. Okay? And sometimes we don't have to always buy the most expensive meal. Sometimes we don't have to always buy the latest drink on the shop. Sometimes we don't have to always buy the latest that some of these fashion designers come out. And it's very important because the more you do that, the more you go towards a direction of covetousness. Okay? And some people say, oh, this is so boring. Well, the Lord Jesus just lived a common life, but he focused his life on one thing, serving others. And whatever he has was just to sustain his life so that he can serve others. Okay? Okay, the next one, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the third point, how we can overcome covetousness in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me just read the point there. Be thoughtful, generous or liberal, and enthusiastic in your support of the Lord's work, making this a major part in your financial plans. Be very generous, because God bless us not to keep it for ourselves. God bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 9. Let me just read there. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In other words, when you give just a little bit, even though you have much, then your income, or rather the reward will be less spiritually. But if you have a big heart and say, Lord, no, just take it, you know, you can serve God with it. Just go, you know. Just take it. If you need to serve God with that, just go and take. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You may not be financial returns, but it could be souls added to your account when you see people in heaven. Okay? Verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, notice the heart again, but of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now this is interesting. Paul moves, you know, some people say, oh, I need to give 10%. I need to give $200. Oh, wow. Okay, give. That's of necessity. Paul wants us to be lifted up above that. He says, don't give grudgingly or because you have to. Because God delights in someone who gives willingly. So if we say, well, I used to give $200, but Lord, I believe God, I'll just trust you for 300, Lord. I'm going to give it willingly. I may have to be tightened, but that's okay, Lord. I'm giving it. Now, God delights in that kind of attitude. That's what Paul is trying to drive at. But that's not the end. He says in verse 8 and 9, notice the spiritual blessings. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, toward you. that ye always, having all enough in all things, all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. What Paul is referring to is, as you give cheerfully, God can make all his grace, the grace that he has, to increase towards you, as you have sufficient all things, so then you can have more opportunities in the good works that you are doing spiritually. One of the key ingredients of growth in a Christian life is that your ministry is expanding. And you're wondering how you are doing it. But Paul is just saying, as you put in your effort, God will abound for you. He's going to make it more and more. And you're going to bring in more people to serve. You're going to bring in more people to expand that spiritual work as you invest and give. That's what he's saying here. In verse 9, as it is written, he that has dispersed abroad, in other words, you use your material you give, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Whatever you give to the Lord will never be forgotten. Amen? And it will abound toward God. The moment, the time that you write that check, my God, it's the most painful thing I've ever done. God, I'll give it to you. God says, your righteousness will remain forever. I'm going to use that because you gave it with your heart. And whatever is given from the heart, God will not despise. If a young child gives the only 5 cents he has, God says, I'll use that. Remember the little boy who gave his lunch? 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What did God do? Fed the entire multitude. And up to today, that nameless boy's name, is still being used to challenge people to surrender to Christ. Up to today. If you're willing to surrender, God can use, okay? Be thoughtful, liberal, and enthusiastic in your support of the Lord's work, making this a major part of your financial plans. Okay, don't just think of tithing, don't just think of your every month you need to give. Say, Lord, what else can I support the Lord? If it's continuously in your mind to support God's work, it's very hard to have a covetous heart. All right, think about that. Next point, ensure that your greatest interests are spiritual and not earthly. Control the agenda of your thought life, especially for Singaporeans. Oh, I need to buy this. Oh, Singapore's advertisement. I was just commenting, that's how we were as we were driving to church. And you know, the Sembawang MRT is here, and then there's this traffic light. You know, right in front there is a property agent. Right there, wow, so early, 8:55. They're already there trying to... Nothing wrong with doing that, okay? But if as Christians... we are thinking of investing time. You know, a lot of people invest time in physical. They wake up early to go jogging on a Sunday morning, or they join a brisk on a Sunday morning. They wake up early to do this on a Sunday morning. When it comes to coming to the Lord's house early, it becomes a chore. It is something that, for us, in this particular one, ensure that your greatest interests are spiritual, not earthly, not just about ourselves. The moment we think about ourselves, as a pastor in Ambassador Baptist Church, the moment we only think about our church comfort, that's the time we start degenerating. Because the mission of the church is always out. The work of the church is in the streets of the world. We are here to get refreshed, get encouragement, so that when we go into the heart knocks of this world, the sins of this world, where we see lives broken by sin in our workplaces, when we see relationships broken up, when we see all... and we get refreshed in our church, we bring the light of the gospel to these people. Does it make sense? But you know what? Many times, I hope not, but many times we hope we won't go and bring our hearts to this world and get chilled, C-H-I-L-E-D, by the sins of this world. And we think that our life's like that, and we do not see the power of the gospel to melt hearts. Does that make sense? Okay? So, control your thought life about covetousness. When you say, hey, how I wish I had that red car. And God is going to say, you already have a car. What? Oh yeah, God, sorry, I'm sure I'm thinking that. You know, sometimes I have this dialogue with God. Personally, when I pray, I say, God, how I wish. Yeah, I shouldn't be thinking that. Sorry, Lord. It's okay. I mean, it's just your personal interaction with the Lord spiritually. And sometimes thoughts come, and God, I shouldn't be thinking that. Control your thought life. Okay? Especially on Facebook, you know, all the pop-ups, all the get this and get that. Brother Desmond shared about all the advertisement and how people are living their life to the fullest. And I've just learned something about advertisement. You know, notice that every picture you see about condo is always smiling people. Right? Every advertisement about getting this place out is always happy people. And you drink this Ribena, you'll be first in class. You know, that kind of, always that positives, right? You know, one principle of advertisement we learn in Foundations for Living in the Christian Education, if it's persistently not telling the full truth, the advertisement is deceptive. I mean, as Christians, we need to be careful. Many Christians get sucked into all this. All right, we need to be careful. Okay? Last point, practice contentment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let's turn there. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Okay, let's read that together. Let's read 5 and 6 together, okay, so that we see the context. Ready? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Ready? 1, 2, go. Let not conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Paul encouraged the Hebrew Christians, let your behaviors in life be without covetousness, be free from covetousness. Meaning when you see something that someone has and it's a brand new thing, your heart will say, thank God that you have that. I praise God for that. I praise God that you can have that. May God bless you with using that. And your heart is free and you just walk off. And you thank God for the things you have. Be free from covetousness and be satisfied with what you have. How many of you don't have a house to live in? How many of you don't have a bed to sleep in? If you choose to sleep on the floor because it's hot, it's a different thing. But we all have beds to sleep in, right? How many of you have blankets when it's still cold? How many of you have fridges at home? How many of you have fans at home? There are people without houses today. There are people without beds today. There are people without food today. There are people without water today. Are we content as Christians? You know, our problem is not that we don't have. Our problem is that we want more. Because after we have all we have, we still have buying power. Okay? Paul says to us, let our behaviors be contented. Okay? For those seeking after jobs, I don't think it's wrong if you're looking for a higher pay. If there's two jobs, one pay 2,000, one pay 6,000, I don't think it's very spiritual for you to take two. It's very unwise. Right? I mean, if you're doing properly, you're doing the interview, and one pays you 6,000, the other pays 2,000, I think I'll go for 6,000. Not that I'll cover covetousness, but it just makes logical sense. Okay, but generally, if they pay you that much, you probably have a lot more responsibility. So there are other things that you need to think about. But you know, if your heart is right, it's okay. But when we complain and gripe, that's a different thing. And let's say sometimes even in some situations whereby the pay is not very much as you look for careers and things like that, and that's all you have, at least I know of brethren who have been jobless, not here, but in the past for many, many months, you know, after they graduated and they said, Lord, whatever that comes my way, I just want to trust you for it. And he did something that's totally off. I think I shared it before. But God used his time in that job that he didn't really like, but he just thanked God for that job. And God used him to reach someone for Christ. And that person became a Christian, joined the church, got married in the church, and grew on. And immediately after that person got saved, God gave him the job that he wanted. Okay, he's in MBC now. All of them. Both the brethren who actually went through this. You know, sometimes we just be thankful for what we have. Is it okay if you eat less? Is it okay you don't have is it okay if you don't have a sashimi all the time? Is it okay that you don't eat Japanese all the time? Is it okay? If it's not okay, that's covetousness. Because your heart is on. Think. Of course, if you can only eat sashimi for your diet, because that's doctor's orders, that's a different thing. But I don't think God would actually... But if every time you only eat this, I've seen that even in my... it's just a terrible thing that happened, but this person came and he didn't order his favorite food. The person walked out, you know, it's part of the whole family. you know, and say, you didn't order my favorite food. And he just walked out. It's like, hello, we're in the restaurant, you know, whole family is here. Is it okay? Can you just be loving enough to just accommodate? So, practice contentment. Give thanks on a daily basis. Husbands, thank God for a wife that you have. Wives, thank God for the husband you have. And I'm saying that deep down, biblically, God wants us to love one another. There's a mom's, give thanks for your children. Because there are tens of thousands of parents in China today that have their children abducted and they have not seen their children for years. Thank God they're still here. Children, thank God for your parents. I'm saying that, because God wants us to honor our parents. There are orphans today that wish they had a mom or dad. Well, as fathers, we are not perfect. Mothers are not perfect. Children, can I tell you something? You're not perfect too. Let's just learn to live how God wants us to be contented with our family. Is it okay if yours is a three-room house? Is it okay if yours is a four-room house? Is it okay? Is it okay if yours is not Dunlop pillow? It's a Xinjiang, you know, from China mattress. Is it okay? Of course, if you have some means, then upgrade that. That's not a problem because there's comfort. And I see some families, they have to make do with very thin mattresses. Why? Some people, it's a tachio, you know, tachio, those mat. Because they don't have the means. But if you have and you want to take care of your family, just buy a thicker mattress. But we contented with all we have. Is it okay just eat rice and soy sauce? I don't think anyone has eaten rice and soy sauce. Right? Have you eaten rice and soy sauce? You have? Yeah, some of us have, yes. Maybe tomato sauce and rice. But is that okay? Lazarus, remember in the Bible, was satisfied with the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. He wasn't even asking for, can I just have that chicken thigh? He was eating crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And I heard a message once, it's interesting. You know who the rich man called for in hell when he needed spiritual help? Think about that. Who did the rich man call for when he was in hell, when he needed spiritual help? Father Abraham sent Lazarus because I've seen in him a Christian contentment and character. Are we contented? What did we do on Friday? Can you remember the verse? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, as we close, any questions? I hope this would help us. Let me tell you what. If you have Christ, you're the richest man on earth. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're the richest man on earth. Some people say, I don't see that. Well, as you grow, you begin to realize Christ meets every need in your heart, not just financial. Amen? Hey, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's the testimony of King David in Psalm 37. I mean, a young man, now I'm old, I've never seen at one time God's people ever forsaken because God, our Heavenly Father, takes care of his own. Can we trust that? If you're not a Christian, you don't have that privilege because you don't belong to him. But you know what? God still sends the rain on you because you need water. God still takes care of the basic needs of your life. That shows he's merciful God. But you know what? He suddenly wants you to come under his wise overwatching of your life. Because why? He loves us. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Hopefully it helps us to biblically guide it. All right? I know I've dig a little bit more rooted scriptures into the inner recesses of our hearts. But covetousness is a hard thing. H-E-A-R-T. It cannot just be talk about open, just hit this and this, but it's an open thing in terms of the heart. And I hope you, if you're not too sure, ask. You know, there are brethren here who, some of us may be struggling with that. You know, some of us say, well, I've gone past that. You can share. Pray for one another. Our goal is not to judge one another. Our goal is to say, Lord, if that's there, help me to overcome that. Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, thank you that you through your word, wants to wash us from inside. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us, so, Lord, that we can walk in the way everlasting that you have prepared for us. Father, as a congregation, as Christians, we don't just want to do what you tell us to do. Of course, we will want to do what you want us to do. But we want to have the proper attitudes also in our hearts with regards to the things of this life that we face with every day. Heavenly Father, I pray for every brethren, and I believe with all my heart, every Christian here wants to serve you, wants to love you. Father, yet not every one of us have the same level of faith, and we're not here to judge one another. But Lord, I pray you help us gently as we move along life's way to learn contentment. That through the things that we have, the salvation of a soul, the growth of a Christian, the unity of a family, the love between husband and wife, the respect and honoring between child and parents, the diligent service in the work of God, the helping of the poor, the reaching to someone unfortunate would be more important to us than the things and the material things of this world. Because, Lord, we saw the Lord Jesus in Acts 10:38. He went everywhere doing good. And Lord, we want to pattern our lives after our dear Savior. So Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts even in this area in terms of being guided biblically. Lord, I pray that you would make your impression in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and through your word. That Lord, truly, we will obey Hebrews 13:5. That you command us to make sure our lives is free from covetousness. We will get rid of everything that gives us a covetous heart, so that we may boldly say, it is the Lord that helped us through all our difficult situations. We thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.